You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at SchachterEnergyReport.ca. He's speaking to us from Calgary. Welcome back to the show and a belated Happy New Year.
We got some nice weather here, 5 degrees, and I gather Eastern Canada and Eastern USA are the ones that are cold this last week, and big drawdowns of in use of natural gas. So, given that we need higher natural gas prices and we need America to realize they need Canadian energy, this might be a good thing.
That's the $8 billion question, isn't it? What's going to happen with Canadian energy if they have Canadian and Mexican tariffs of 25% February 1st?
Yeah, some of the stuff you're hearing is that there's going to be tariffs, but maybe he'll start them small and use that as leverage to get, things he wants done. He wants progress on fentanyl. He wants progress on illegal immigration. He wants progress on maybe, auto trade surplus that Canada may have. So I think that, he doesn't want the cost of oil to go up. He said that today again in the press conference that he had in the Oval Office. So he's asking OPEC to lower oil prices so that it'll be cheaper for consumers. Well, if oil prices come down, why would American companies spend money drilling for new oil, if the economics are not there? And, we've seen in the data from Baker Hughes that the drilling industry has not been very active growing, their production, because they themselves are trying to get rates of return. And so if they don't have tier one wells that are going to be economic, they're not doing the drilling. So it's a totally different thing. Just last week, for example, on tomorrow we get the most recent Baker Hughes data, but the rig count for the states last week, Friday, was 580 working, down from 620 a year ago. That's down 6.5%. And if you go to the breakdown, natural gas rigs, 98 versus 120, down 18.3%. But the big one was oil, which you think would be the one that would be up, 478 working, down 2 on the week, down from 497, so down 3.8. So if you don't have attractive drilling locations, people are not drilling, and they're all waiting to see how this all shakes out. Trump is having a problem getting his nominees passed through Congress. Democrats are doing their typical, use the procedures to slow things down. They're now trying to have 30 hours of a conversation about, in each individual's, which is a procedural capability in the Senate, even though the Republicans have sufficient number of votes to pass them on a flat-out vote, but because of the procedural issues that the House and the Senate have, the Senate in this case, because they advise and consent, they're being, Schumer and his pack of Democrats are trying to do whatever they can to stall these guys getting into office. They did quickly approve Senator Rubio for the State Department because he was from them and they knew him. So at least they weren't totally a bunch of jerks, but for others, they're making it pretty tough to get them through.
Did Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, make any progress when she went to visit Trump at Mar-a-Lago?
She was there with Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary, and he was able to get her invited. But, he keeps on saying the 51st, 52nd state, and the reality is it can't be won because, I think we have a blue portion of Canada and a red portion of Canada, and I live in the red portion of Canada, the western part, and the blue part is Quebec and Atlantic Canada, and you might say the purple is Ontario. But the reality is, you know, he's got Canada over a barrel, as you can say, simply because we don't have a strong political leadership in Ottawa. You know, you even see our environment minister backtracking on carbon taxes now, because he doesn't want to leave any ammo with this negotiations. And, you know, the Liberals are trying to have, you know, leadership contests. And so far, you're seeing, you know, Mark Carney getting more support from members of parliament than Chrystia Freeland. But, you know, I think it's going to be, a very nasty campaign. And, it's going to be, and Trudeau's people are backing Mark Carney. And so, whatever it is, when they start having to negotiate February 1st on this file, I don't think that Canada's sitting with a lot of aces in their hands.
What is taking a look at this year until we know what happens with tariffs? Is it hard to predict what's going to happen with energy?
I think the key is going to be is there going to be a continental energy policy or is there going to be tariffs? If Trump decides in the end that it's in the best interest of getting lower prices is to get us to be an energy superpower, and America increases its production by 3-4 million barrels, we get more pipelines so we can have more Canadian crude going to the Gulf Coast, we end up building more LNG, just like the Americans are doing, and we get our LNG approved on the West Coast. You saw that First Nations leader who opposed the Northern Gateway say now that he's in favor of it. So if we can get political leadership in Ottawa to say, yes, we're in favor, the BC government says yes, First Nations say yes, then maybe we'll find more export opportunities in the West so that if there's a difficult barrier with the United States over price, over netbacks, over access, then we could find another opportunity so we're not beholden to the United States for the majority of our export sales of energy products. Not only would, we're talking mostly, for Western Canada, oil and natural gas, but Eastern Canada has issues where they want to sell more, more electrical power. Quebec Power, with the deal they did with Newfoundland and Labrador, Ontario's talking about bringing on more capacity on electricity. And then, of course, the Americans are going to need it. If the data center growth rates come out as big as everybody says they are going to be, and the demand is as big, then we're going to see, that the United States can't do it alone.
President Trump was quoted as saying he doesn't need Canada's oil and gas, do they?
Oh, every day they do. If you're a refiner in the Midwest, which are those states that, that made him the president, the swing states, they all use heavy crude from Canada and the refineries there. So gasoline, diesel, everything else, they put a 25% tariff on it. Then that means prices of gasoline and diesel and products that they use are going to go up by 25%. And instead of a $3, a gallon U.S. To fill your car, do you really want to pay, a dollar more, 75 cents to a dollar more? So to me, I think that that's ridiculous. Right now, at this time of year, they draw down their storage for natural gas because of the cold weather. And, you see these Arctic fronts that are going down all the way to Texas. They're using a lot of natural gas, and they're depleting their own storage. And they're using a lot of Canadian natural gas. So the Canadian companies that are shipping into the Chicago market, the Alliance Pipeline, they're getting U.S. NYMEX-related prices. And NYMEX today was $3.94. It was over $4 earlier in the week, but $4 U.S. times the, Canadian dollar, 1.44, minus transportation, that's a hell of a lot better than $1.70 Canadian for AECO Canadian price in Western Canada.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, inflation in Canada, is it under control, and can the same be said for the U.S.?
Well, you know, as we talked earlier, you know, there are, you know, some areas of inflation that are coming down. You know, you go to the grocery store now, you might see in the cereal aisle, you know, the discounts, you know, a dollar off, 50 cents off type of thing like that. So we are seeing some areas of where there are. But, you know, as I mentioned with eggs in the United States, the inflation there is going to go up. Coffee and cocoa for us here in Canada is the same as, you know, we're impacted by worldwide events there. Harvests in Africa are lower. There's some issues with the harvests from, you know, different kinds of, you know, insects and other harvesting issues that they're having. So the crops are smaller, which means your bar of chocolate's going to go up. So my Lindt dark chocolate's probably going up here. And then coffee prices, of course, you know, that means your Starbucks fix goes up. And then cattle prices are up. You know, you look at the cattle prices are at record highs, which means, of course, you go to the Safeway and, you know, look at the price of, you know, a ribeye or you know, any kind of steak, you know, roast or whatever. You're going to be paying higher prices. So, and wage rates are not, you know, not coming down. You know, I think people are going to have to be enticed to go back to their offices. And you're seeing the states and even, you know, some companies in Canada are saying, we want you back in the office, not 2 days a week or 3 days a week, but 5 days a week. And as the banks and the, you know, and as companies push that through, I think that you know, that's going to add to inflation because you're going to have to be, you know, going by car or subway, which costs you money to go downtown. You're going to have to probably dress up again, no more casual clothes in your pajamas sitting there at your desk. You're going to have to be putting on clothes and lunch downtown. So people's, you know, after-tax, you know, spending will be going up. Simply as that work to back to the office does go through the system. So, you know, I think inflation will come back. You know, we're seeing interest rates, you know, on the long end in the States moving up here because of crowding out. The government in the States probably has a, you know, $2.3 trillion deficit this year. And over $1 trillion of interest payments. So as they have to, you know, pay for the bonds that are renewing, plus another add on another $2 or $2.2 trillion of new debt, that means that, you know, is there money for the business community? Is there money for other things? And then take into account mortgages. Mortgages in Canada aren't as high because our interest rates are lower. I think we're in the 5-6% range. But U.S. mortgage rates are over 7%. So, you know, you've had 200-300 basis point rise there. You know, if you have your mortgage that comes up for renewal in the U.S., that becomes a big bite out of your pocket. And Canadians who have, you know, mortgages that they got 3, 4, 5 years ago that come up for renewal, they're getting a bite out of their back pocket too. So I think people should be more concerned about inflation and that it's not gone away, even though the official government stats say it's moderate at 2 or 3%. But, you know, there's lies, damn lies in government statistics, and I think we're at the latter.
What's the state of the Alberta energy industry?
Well, there's a tale of two cities here. If you're a crude oil producer, and you're getting $74 U.S. times 1.44, that's a pretty decent price, just under $100. And so that's a very, very good price for liquids producers. And their stocks have held up better than natural gas producers who are locked into the Canadian market, because until we have LNG Canada taking 2 BCF a day out of the 18-19 BCF that we produce in Canada and move that to the export markets, it's not going to tighten things up. So we end up with low prices, $1.60, $1.70, $1.80 for Canadian AECO. And you compare that, as I mentioned earlier, to the $3.95 for NYMEX US. There's a big difference. Normally, we might be around the same price as the Americans, but we have the currency differential, which would more than offset transportation. So if it was $3.95 US, we might get AECO at $3.95, but we're $2 lower than that. So those companies that are natural gas related, they're having a tougher time. They're not spending money growing. They're just trying to, you know, keep the banks at bay and pay their interest, pay their staff, hopefully keep their production volumes flat. Again, most companies have some of both. So, you know, if you're 80% natural gas, 20% liquids, it's not so fun. If you're 60% liquids, 40% natural gas, you're okay. And if you're 80% liquids, you're laughing all the way to the bank.
Is there a labor shortage in Alberta for the energy sector?
The rig count in Canada is also is come back up from the winter lows, you know, when they closed in December. But we're 229 for the rig count last week in Canada versus 223, so no real difference, up 2.7%. Where we're seeing the difference is focused drilling on gas, again, because of the lower AECO prices, only 73 rigs working versus 83 a year ago. But for oil, because we have the Trans Mountain export capability, we have 156 rigs working to drill oil versus 140 last year. So that's up 11.4%. So as I said before, it's a tale of two cities. Oil good, natural gas not much fun.
On the political front, we have Mark Carney, probably the front runner for the Liberal leadership. Would that change their energy policies versus what Pierre Poilievre might offer?
Well, he's talking that he's not going to put through the capital gains tax, and I think he's also thrown out that he's not in favor of Guilbeault's carbon tax. But you know, he was Mr. Carbon King, and when he was working, with his work that he was doing with those corporations, he was very pro, the carbon world, the carbon, the carbon sequestration, carbon taxation. So, that's why Poilievre, I think, wants him to be the leader, because then he can call him Carbon Mark, and he's got a nice, sweet way of taking him down and attacking him with attack ads. And also, the question is, Mark Carney's, when he was in Edmonton and introducing himself with his fans behind him, he didn't come across very strong. I'm not sure that Chrystia Freeland is either. So the question is, who of these two, if they're the front runners, do they want to be the opposition leader, and would they like to handle being opposition leader until, like anything, any new party comes in? If Poilievre and Conservatives come in, they might have a good one term, but then a second term, maybe they get a little arrogant, and then they fall. So, it's a typical swing. People are disgusted with the Liberals in Ottawa, changing the face of the leader without changing the policies, I don't think is going to make a difference. So I think it's, whenever the election is called. And again, remember, we have a G7 meeting, I think it's June or July. So, I think they want to have a new prime minister in before that. Or Trudeau may want to be the in place, assuming that they don't have a leadership contest with the new prime minister who immediately calls a new election. So I don't know. The politics in Canada is definitely not going to be boring for the next number of months. But the question is, are we going to see, such a difference out of the Liberals that versus what we have now? And will the public buy it?
Joseph, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, just the bottom line is, we talked, in September about a great buying opportunity. We recommended a lot of new names, and stocks did very well. We had a pullback in December. where we had, tax loss selling because the sector had not done well because of prices being down. That was another great one. There was like a 20% bounce in many stocks into January. I think we're going to see a pullback sometime in February, March. So your investors should be looking at what their favorite names are. And if we get a 5, 10% correction, because we have a 10% or so correction in the crude oil price and natural gas stay sloppy, there's going to be some great bargains out there. My view is that in the second half of 2025, we're going to see the ships righted on global economic growth again after, the whatever shenanigans Trump does and the rebuttals and the fighting and all the nastiness. But heading into the second half, I think China will get their act together on economic growth. They'll take the hits on their real estate. And if that's the case, I think we have a good chance of seeing, the price of crude oil, WTI, being in the 80s, potentially even picking up into the 90s during Q4 of 2025. And I think higher prices in 2026. If that is the case, then the commodity board everywhere will go up, because if we're going to go to a transition period for EVs and we need more electric, we need copper wiring, aluminum wiring, we need nickel, we're going to need all these raw materials which come from the third world, all of the critical minerals, and that's going to cause another major cycle, just like we had from 74 to 81, or that we had from 99 to 08. 74 to 81 was Japan becoming the major export house that they were, and we were buying Datsuns, Panasonics, Sonys and Toyotas. And then in 99 to 08, it was China coming out of, capitalism under the communist umbrella. This cycle will be the third world, where the third world is the one that's going to get a lot of the economic juggernaut. And to be able to have the quality of life and pay their people well, they're going to need to receive some good revenues, which means we're going to need to see them have more consumption of energy. So while you may see the OECD between now and the end of the decade lower their consumption of crude oil, you're going to see more than that growth from the third world, the emerging world, which is going to be providing us those raw materials we need for this transition phase. And that's going to be good for Africa, for South America, for parts of Asia. Many of those areas do not have their own crude oil, so that's going to be a big upside for crude demand, and that's another reason why I think you see President Trump saying, let's make America, or more importantly, I would hope, North America, the energy juggernaut for the world.
Joseph, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure, as always. Thank you so much, Jim.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.